Rex, hi, how you doing?
Good morning, I'm well, and you?
I'm good, thanks.
Awesome.
Thanks for agreeing to have a chat and record it with me today.
I agreed?
You agreed?
What? Of course.
Well, you know,
thank you.
I'll let your arm go later and, you know, free you from this.
Ow, stop.
It's been a real pleasure to host you for this tour. I've had a pretty good time.
It's a real pleasure to have been toasted. It's been hosted. It's been a good, you know, you've done a marvelous job. And not only all the legwork and the groundwork and the transportation and everything else, but have allowed for me to meet a really bunch of incredible people.
I absolutely agree. These are some fabulous folks. And I feel kind of joyful, kind of giddy about the fact that they got a chance to see you in action, which is amazing. And I also got a chance to see you in action. I spent the better part of 12, 13 years trying to find people that were really up to your level of artistry with this process of elevating people. And frankly, I just have to admit that until you agreed to come back and train, there really aren't a lot of people out there that I feel like I get to go back to school with. I think you kind of ruined me for some other folks out there. I mean, of course, the founders are wonderful. It's really, when I look at some of the videos that are being produced out there today, that are demonstrations of presentations or presenting, of training, that the art of that, of elevating people and helping people come into their own, find their own voice, be artist, let's say, artistic about it and effective at elevating others and inspiring others, there's really not a lot out there. And I think the biggest distinction that I would draw is I watch you weaving a tapestry of multiple skills that are just so easy for you. And I've spent the better part of 15 years attempting to get, you know, easier and more effective at this. And I watch your demonstrations and your skill in doing it. It just seems so natural. And I know those are just, you know, glowing accolades.
Nobody just like me. That's true. And I'll explain that in a second. But no, I mean, I appreciate that.
Sure. And then again, I watch videos. I keep tabs on people. And every once in a while, somebody surprises me. But there's just, most of what's out there is so linear. It's so linear, where people are just doing one thing at a time. They're describing one thing after another. And descriptions of NLP just do not excite me. I want to be able to replay something multiple times and unpack something different in such demonstrations over time.
Well, you know, a moment ago I said there's nobody like me, and I was joking. And it's true at the same time. I mean, I say it as a joke, or I say it in jest, but I do feel that what I bring to the field, or brought to the field, is unique, and perhaps unlike other things that people do, because I came to the field, you know, earlier, in that, I was an actor, I was a storyteller, I was an entertainer, I was interested in psychology and meditation and learning and different things. I ended up becoming an NLP trainer and training NLP, but it was always run through my filters. It wasn't something where I discovered NLP and said, oh, I've got to train this, which happens, I think, for a lot of people, because they suddenly decide, I want to learn something, but I'm learning it so that I can stand in front of a room and teach it.
It does happen.
You know, for me, it was an outgrowth. I had been teaching acting, I'd been teaching meditation, I'd been doing other things. NLP seemed like something to add in to make these other things more effective. It was the tool to help the acting training. It was a tool to help people understand meditation more. And so, yes, I started ultimately to offer practitioner programs because in looking at the field, I felt that what was happening was that either it was like all hypnosis or none of it was hypnosis. There were these two choices. You were either zoned through the floor and told, here's how to learn, or you got it broken down into this very linear, small chunk, piecemeal, I'm going to spoon feed you the tiniest bites possible so you can potentially understand it. And my approach has been more like a movie when I think about it, really. There's a structure to a film. There's a beginning, middle, and end, but the whole point of the film is to take somebody on a roller coaster ride of emotions, whether that's to, in the case of a documentary, get you pissed off or get you excited, get you eager, get you to take some kind of action. If it's a narrative film, whether, you know, you're supposed to feel sad at the end of the movie or happy. You know, there's commercialism in film that makes some things more likely to be hit versus not likely. I mean, there's all these different elements, and what a director does is he combines all these. And I talk about this in programs, or an orchestra leader takes the percussions and the wind instruments and the string instruments and blends them together simultaneously. They're all doing their independent jobs simultaneously. And so my goal has always been to have somebody learn the basics of being in an orchestra. Yes, they have something to learn here, but it's about the goal or the end result, not about the piece. It's what purpose does this serve? Why are you learning to have rapport? Well, to get along better with people. If you understand purpose first, why you're doing it, everything else fits under that. If you don't necessarily understand the purpose, let me put it to you this way. I think of it as patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is patterns. Practitioners, pattern learning, and master practitioners, more pattern learning, different mm-hmm. pattern learning. You're drawing attention to different things. There are people who discover things about themselves usually only when it gets to critical mass. They've discovered where it's painful. Somebody puts their hand on a stove, or a neurology tells us to take it away, unless, of course, neurology doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know the old story, and don't do this at home, of how to boil a frog, right? If the water's hot, you throw the frog in, it jumps back out because it's hot. There's a signal value there that goes, go. But if you put it in to the cold water and gradually increase the heat, they don't notice it. What's happened with us is we've been in cold water. Gradually, it's gotten warmer. And the only time we notice the patterns is when it's already too late. You know, so we're now into behaving a way that we don't like, or we're into behaving a way that we absolutely do like, but we haven't noticed the process. So my goal is to teach you the process, help you to notice the process. But you can't notice the process piece by piece, because the process is the entire water and heat and elements and everything all at one time. So you have to have this larger appreciation for things that are going on while directing your attention to different elements simultaneously, just mm-hmm. like when you listen to music. Sometimes you're focused on the wind instrument. Sometimes you're hearing the percussion. But when you really enjoy it, it's when you hear it all as one piece.
Yeah. Now, that's the experience of enjoying and not noticing the artistry that's going on. But I think that the field doesn't even have the filters and the awareness to know how artful something like that can be, which is sad, and I'd like to draw a few hints to people, you know.
And please do, but that is what I'm saying, is that people will try and say, well, let's break this down into the smallest components.
Right.
And they miss the forest through the trees because they're so focused on this particular aspect. It's like if you just look at the threadwork in a tapestry,
yeah.
you don't notice what the tapestry threadwork was, the image was supposed to be, because mm-hmm. you're too busy looking at the tiny pieces.
Right. That's true. And many people are making, in my opinion, training choices that are not in their best interest, but they think they are because they're blinded by the show or whatnot.
Well, to fully appreciate, I always, in my practitioner course, for example, I used to say my wife was an art major and a fine art major and understood more about art than I could ever begin to appreciate. I would walk into a museum and I'd go, okay, art. I would see things on the wall and I'd go, art. And after, you know, because a picture's worth 1,000 words, I would look at the entire museum and go, yeah, okay, cool, there's art in here. And that was about as far as it went. Once in a while, I'd walk up to a painting, go, okay, whatever. I'd walk over to a sculpture and anatomy. But I took it in all at once. It was just art, you know. Here's the Rembrandt display. Okay, good. There's Rembrandt, right? Fantastic. And she said, no. You need to come up close. And so I'd come up close. She said, notice how the light plays on the texture of the paint that's here and how it bounces and reflects. And how these. I go, okay. All right. Yeah, you're right. You know, and I start to look at things and examine it, you know, and draw my attention to some tiny piece and some larger piece and some splotch here and something there. And then I step back and look at it again and realize that where true appreciation of art comes in, for me at least, was to be able to change perspective, to be able to notice things both close up and far away. And to find that there's maybe an optimal distance for being able to notice all these things at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you're 3 feet away from the painting and you can take it all in. So it was about changing perspective and being able to do it fluidly. If I only looked at brushstrokes, mm-hmm. which I could spend decades learning brushstrokes, it seemed that it would take forever before I could understand other things. And I don't understand art. I don't pretend to. But I appreciate it in a different way because I'm able to look at it differently mm-hmm. than I ever had before because I just went art. And I think the same thing with training. There's the people who go and attempt to... I discussed this with learning. You attempt to take it and make it piecemeal so that people can understand a complex notion in the simplest way when in doing that, you are missing something. And what you're really missing is people's ability to grasp things mm-hmm. and to understand things holistically.
Right.
So my approach is just much more maybe holistic, but it comes from, you know, I want to make it entertaining and fun and all these other kinds of things because, you know, it's a movie. I want to take people on a ride. I want them to enjoy and to have a good time. So I'm going to shut up and you tell me.
Well, I have lots of comments and questions at this point, and so let me share some of the things I observed and maybe can also draw into people's awareness for those who are listening at home or wherever. So extraordinary things happened during the evenings that you presented recently, and I think people had an experience, they had a ride, they got some great content. I don't think that most of them are as aware as they could be of how much was going on. There are presentations. People can look at some major name speaker on the web and they can be inspired and they can be entertained and all that. But because there is an absence of a feedback loop where that person who's on stage gets to observe the timing of the responses of the audience and adjust their delivery on the fly as you do, they'll never know when you switched some small choke aspect of your presentation that you don't even think of consciously because it's intuitive for you, and they didn't notice that when you went from giving them an answer to inviting them to think of their own answer. These kinds of moments of transition, of inviting people to start thinking in a new direction, and they're not aware necessarily of how intuitive your adjustment of your delivery was based upon what they did or didn't respond to earlier in your presentation. What I'm saying is the art of mentorship and training has been lost to very, very, fancy presentations show one person in front of 1,000 people, and that's great for the person who's on stage, but it's not what happened in the room last night here in D.C. or 2 nights ago in New York where you evoked a shift in thinking in people. And so, two things come to mind. Number one is when they come to a workshop with someone who's as artistic about training, not just presenting, as you are, and as I aspire to become on an ongoing basis, and I think that there are people out there who would say wonderful things about my work, and I'm grateful for that.
Absolutely, you're great. I mean, don't...
No, I agree. I'm not downplaying my own school. Okay. My point is that when it's time for me to go back to school, I seek out people that are at your level.
Well,
and I don't think there's enough people out there who really are aware of the vast differential between seeing someone who is just in front of 1,000 people on stage and someone who whose art is evoking mastery and artistry in others. So that's one thing, is I don't think people are even as aware as they could be of how tomorrow is going to be different for them, the people that came to these things, of how tomorrow, because you presented in the way that you did, because you evoked transitions from, oh, is this going to happen again this way? No, stop, take a deep breath. These kinds of things that you conditioned into the people that were there on an increasing basis, hopefully tomorrow, instead of getting down on themselves because something didn't go well, they suddenly stop, they take a deep breath, they giggle to themselves, and they might not even be consciously aware of the fact that that transition occurred because of spending time with you. They might not. And that's for them to experience. My point is, I observe them having experience and being conditioned differently as a result. And personally, for me, I'm bored by presentations I see on YouTube. I have so little patience for truly linear presentations at this stage because I've been exposed to highly parallel forms of communication that train more faster in an elegant and fun way. And I'm spoiled, right? Yeah. So now you talked about this whole emotional ride. And so I never got a chance to take your trainer's training. And so that's one of the reasons, my selfish reasons, for wanting to have you co-train with me.
Well, before we go there, let me say this, and that is that how I think about training is that, and teaching, is that I don't believe that the teacher does anything, even though the teacher does
a lot.
A lot. The trainer doesn't do really anything, even though the trainer's doing a lot. Two people can go into a movie and both watch the movie, and one can hate it and one can love it, depending on what they're paying attention to. So that says nothing about the movie. That says something about what they're attending to. So one says, oh, I hated it. One says, I loved it. And you say, well, why? And one says, well, I didn't like the story. And the other one says, well, but the acting was brilliant. Or, you know, I didn't like the seat I was sitting in, and people around me were talking, so therefore they didn't like the movie. It's where awareness is. It's where attention is. We tend to put it onto the film as opposed to putting it, recognizing that it's our experience. How do we want our experience to be?
Mm-hmm.
So as a trainer, as a presenter, my thing is truly more mentor. We've lost the art of apprenticeship. We've lost the art of transmission of behavior, of insight, of enlightenment, or even of information. It has become an information, we're lived in the information society now. You know, everything is information. We can get it off of YouTube, we can get it off of Google, we can get it off of here, we can get it off of there. People read about things, and people present about neurolinguistic programming
mm-hmm.
or learning. And what happens is that the trainer has an agenda to get information out, as opposed to what is it that the people need to receive.
Yeah.
And that's where the adjustments come in. The conductor conducts based on, you know, it needs to be louder here, it needs to be quieter here. It's a feedback loop that you set up between the conductor and the players. Well, in the same way, that feedback loop has to be present between the presenter and the people who are listening to understand, am I getting the people where I can move them if I'm going to move them somewhere? Like if they're in a crowded theater and you have to yell fire, are they actually getting out to the door? You've got to be able to calibrate. Notice, right. Are we getting them moving in the right direction? And or are they not? Are they entrenched in some position? Are they confused at this moment? Are they angry? My goal is to offer them something that can be life transformative, whether I talk to them for a half hour or 12 hours, and to have them have an experience or a taste of that, to actually practice or rehearse it, or to have it demonstrated to them a number of times in front of them, and to be, more than anything, to be able to demonstrate flexibility, the ability to change or think on your feet, to do whatever might be needed in an instant, to be able to shift into a more resourceful state rather than a less. So my goal is to demonstrate all the stuff I talk about, albeit non-verbally, to the
right.
best of my ability. I don't mean just matching and mirroring skills. I mean the things that are truly important, and that is, if I'm stuck, where do I go? If I'm confused, how do I get out of it? If life isn't what I want, how do I make it that way? What do I need to do? Well, yes, I need to stop and, you know, and do these certain things. So it's going to constantly be evoking that, those principles and those behaviors, and sharing them and demonstrating them to the best of my ability from the front of the room, but also to engage them in the process while this is going on, so that once they've left having done it hopefully a number of times, or having the experience of having it demonstrated to them a number of times, so that they can do it on their own, so that if I don't get through everything I want to do, if I don't get from A to Z, it doesn't matter, because A to C was what they needed or wanted.
Right.
Or A to M was what they wanted, you know, or needed. Because it's about the relationship that's going on in the room to what's occurring all around, as opposed to, oh, I better get through this set of skills because that's what's been promised in the brochure. And what you see in a lot of training is somebody's going, I have to tell you this is how it is. But there's no feedback loop. There's no, you know, you can get that from a book.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and this is live. So why present anything that somebody can read?
You've got to live it. I don't get it. Yeah, exactly.
You've got to live it, you know. And so if you stand up there and just write the... It's the old thing about training, and this is one of the things if people come to the trainer's training or the presentation, is you don't need to read what you have on your flip chart. People have already read it.
Right.
So if it says, step one, touch your toes, they've read it. Now just talk about
something
the benefits.
Yeah.
But don't go... all right, step one is touch your toes because they've already got it.
Yeah.
That's the sad
That's
thing.
That's death by PowerPoint.
Death by PowerPoint. But that, but you see so many of those presentations where they just read what's in front of them. And they do that because they go, well, it's an audio-visual presentation.
No, please.
And so you need, it's got to be vibrant. But all change comes from you know, essentially within. And so people have to have the experience of it, not just hear about it or read about it.
Yep. So let's switch gears to the emotional ride. And I don't want to get too small chunk into, you know, specific mechanisms, but having not had the value of your trainer's training yet, I evolved an approach to presentation skills that's mostly about teaching people how to be effective and comfortable going through an emotional ride of their own on stage and how to manage that instead of getting upset or nervous by it and be masterful in moving through their own emotions while they deliver a compelling presentation. And essentially building an opportunity for their future listeners to take the ride with them. And we love to take the ride as listeners. We want our trainers, our speakers to succeed and be effective. We want to take the ride with them. And you, for example, we've talked about how one of the ways that people can learn and demonstrate and do these skills, because of course it's best to learn by doing, not by reading or etc., is you like to have people practice like a comedy routine.
Right.
And I do that too, and I also...
I never tell them that in advance, though.
See, I've let the cat out of the bag.
I don't tell them in advance.
There's lots of different ways of demonstrating the skills. I mean, some people want to talk about stuff they've, you know, that happened to them, and inspirational stories they experienced as a kid or earlier in their lives. There's lots of different reasons someone might want to come to a program like this. Some might be they want to do stand-up comedy. That's great. Some might have a voice inside them. They don't know how to let it out. Maybe they're a little fearful of it. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're excited about it, but they don't know how to package information well. All of these things can be masterfully brought to the surface and evolved and let's say refined through your guidance. And you know, knock on wood, a little of mine too. I think there's some different tastes that they can get from each of us.
Oh, absolutely.
So you asked me whether or not there would be people there that would be coming to learn how to train NLP, and while it's possible we might get one or two, that's not our prime focus. That's not our love, isn't teaching that. We're not certifying that. We're helping people to become more gifted presenters. I can't wait to teach that course with you. So I'm really looking
forward
to it.
Well, and likewise, and you know, I for decades now have had, well, I'm not doing it now, but I mean there are my presentation course out there on, I don't know if video, but definitely on audio, a number of different versions of that. And the goal was not then either to train people how to do NLP. That was something completely separate. It was to take people, professional people who wanted to be better at speaking, or people who've never spoken who want to speak, to be able to get up, whether it's in front of two people or 200 people or 2,000 people, and be able to deliver a message. But the one thing that I believe you do, is, and my promise was, I don't want to teach you something you can learn from a book. I don't want to teach you something that you get from Toastmasters. What I want to do is I want you to have the experience of being able to do something and have fun doing it so that you want to do more of it because it was fun to learn. And so in Master Track, we did a lot of this, and that would be to model elegant speakers or therapists or attorneys or presenters, and we did that in my presentation programs as well, you know, is to look at elegant models of people who are doing what you want to do, and then kind of finding out what is it that these people from different walks of life, maybe it was a stand-up comic, maybe it was a therapist, maybe it was an attorney, what did they all do in common? Because the basis of modeling is comparing what do these people do similarly, and also contrasting what do they do differently that allows them to be unique and successful in what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't only want to do the contrast, and you don't only want to do the comparison, you want to be able to do both, all right, and then how do they use these things to get an end result, and whether or not they're aware of what they're doing. I mean, you know, you can go to the model and go, how did you do that? But if they
may not be aware.
They may not be aware, but you don't need that. You don't need to know what they know in that regard if you can observe them and watch them and begin to compare and contrast. And one of the easiest ways to do that is compare and contrast different examples of people doing similar things in similar situations. So a stand-up comic is in front of the room, an attorney's presenting in front of a room, a minister may be presenting in front of the room. They don't have the same goal, well, they may, it's to influence or to elicit a response or whatever, but one is to talk about religion, and the other is to convince the jury somehow, and the other one is to have people laugh. And guess what? Truly, the hardest thing is to have people laugh. I mean, because you've got to create involuntary responses every few seconds in people. So your job is to elicit an involuntary response out of somebody, and to do it repeatedly for a given amount of time,
right?
And to do it successfully enough that when you're done, people have enjoyed it, you know, so that you killed the room as opposed to bombed, which are interesting. You either kill the room or you bomb. So the bottom line is how do you elicit responses in people? How do you get your audience to go with you? I'm not going to teach you how to do every 30 seconds have a punchline, you know, and elicit that response. But if you can begin to learn how to get that, whether that response is curiosity or fascination or anger, you know, I've had enough, or, you know, what are the responses that you wish to elicit in your audience for what your outcome may be as a speaker, then how do you go about doing that? How do you do it so that you have fun without making it this whole tough mental exercise?
Sure.
You know, so training for me, or practitioner, presentation skills for me, is just about getting up and having fun in the front of the room.
Absolutely.
And doing it enough times while you're there that you can continue it once you've left.
Indeed. No, I think it's exciting, and I'm looking forward to participating in it, and also assisting and guiding some of that.
Well, and likewise.
So interestingly, you covered a lot of bases there. I mean, you covered that trainers' training or presentation skills training process involves not only getting up and having fun, but also a little bit of modeling, a bit of learning how to sort differently for things you observe, comparing, contrasting, and then having, and this may be key for a lot of people, the behavioral flexibility to do whatever is required to demonstrate what one is intending to demonstrate. And then with guidance to be able to adjust on the fly.
I don't think you have to, you know, take the fastest land car to get from one place to another, because unless you're in the salt flats or it's absolutely flat, you might jettison yourself into outer space accidentally or do some significant damage. I don't think that being a snail that's going to crawl from one spot to another to get to where you want to be is where you want to be either, because it's, you know, change would take a very, very long time. But at least you're moving in the right direction, unless, of course, you're not. You know, something comes along to preclude that or prevent it. So the best thing that you can do is to learn how to be as flexible as possible and to do what's needed as it's needed that's appropriate. So it's not overkill and it's not underwhelming or where it's not significant enough to get the change. Learning how to calibrate to your surroundings, whether it's an audience of one or 100, whether it's your significant other, your children, your parents, whether it's your teachers, whether it's an attorney that you're dealing with, whatever it might be, is it's learning to notice what's going on in a moment and having inherent flexibility so that you have better or more better choices available to you. If I can help people learn to have what I just say, it's simple, good taste and more choice, not too many choices, because if you've got 100 choices, you don't know which one to pick. But if you've got a few more choices that allow you to do things more elegantly, more fun, easier, maybe a little quicker, if you can think on your feet in the moment, you know, then you are more resourceful. And one of the primary presuppositions of NLP is it's better to have more resources than less resources. You know, the more resourceful you can be, and the more flexibility that you can have, or the more choices that you can have, it's great. I don't want to take away any choices. I want to add to someone. And that's what I think about the training. And that's what I think about whether it's presentation, practitioner, mastercraft. It's all about learning how to become a more flexible thinker, to have greater access to your own emotional. You can't get somebody to be excited if you're going, well, okay, get really excited. You have to go first. There's things that you want to do to elicit, to invite, to encourage, to suggest for another person. And to the degree that you're willing to change or adapt or adopt different things, is to the degree to which you can have greater and more enduring success. And some people go, this is the only way to do it, and here's how you do it.
Not.
And I think what you're responding to is there are a lot of NLP training programs that go, you can have a better life. Yeah. And they're boring. And they're boring because the way they were taught was by somebody who was boring, who said this is the way it has to be, and they learned the way they learned in school, instead of this is an experience for you. And it's not all fun and games. It's serious learning. But you learn better if you're having fun. You learn faster if it's enjoyable. I mean, and there will always be those people for whom they need to have the, if there's no pain, there's no gain. Well, we can make it painful too. I mean, for if you, if you're the one that needs the pain, I'm happy to accommodate, because that's just the kind of guy I am. Because for me, then that becomes a challenge. How much pain can I induce? No, I'm kidding. But I'm serious, but you do understand.
Some people can only be motivated by that. I prefer the positive side, of course.
No, I mean, exactly. But the point being is that you can come, what if you have one way to learn, and that's through pain, then everything you do will always be painful, and you spend the predominant amount of your... Well, what if you had two ways to learn? One of them was painful, and one of them was just kind of an oh-ho-hum way. Now you could choose. Okay, it could be painful, or it could be oh-hum. What if you had three ways? What if you had painful, oh-ho-hum, and a slight amount of enjoyment? What if you had four ways? Oh-ho-hum, the painful, the slight amount of enjoyment, and wonderful, juicy, ecstatic fun. Now you get four ways to approach it. And that's, to me, more than enough, you know, because you got at least three other ways than what you do now. You don't end up have 100. You got three other ways, and now you get to pick which one works best in which situation gets you what you want to have. So now you've learned something beyond what it is you're trying to accomplish. You've learned three new ways to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, exponentially, what might that do for you in terms of your own creativity?
It's generative.
Yeah, exactly.
There really are less and less limits through time as a result of it.
Yeah. And so what we're hoping to do, what we try and do, what you describe about the presentations is, you know, this is, I mean, what I'm trying to say is this is not all pie in the sky. There are logistical training constraints, there are issues, there are different things that we approach. But the ideal thing is that you come in, you enjoy yourself, you learn some things, you get a behavioral experience of it so that you can take it out and use it in your everyday world. And the more you use it in your everyday world, the better you'll get. And so you will have learned something of value to add value to your life down the road. And it may be different than how you're used to learning, and it may parallel some of your learning experiences. And that's all good. As opposed to saying, we're going to present some information you have to have in the driest, most boring, most difficult way, and you're just going to have to sit there and get it, and when you're done, you will have gotten what we got, and that's what we do.
I have a few more things to say, but I hope that more and more people who are listening to this will begin to appreciate why, from experience, and I do speak from experience, when I showed up at Richard Bandler's course, clearly far better prepared for what he was about to start doing than many of the other students who come in at ostensibly my same quote-unquote level of training. It became clear to me that the experience of working with you had somehow pulled more out of me. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean you had somehow enabled me to think differently, sort differently, expand my thinking, notice more in different ways. Have a greater balance of comparisons and contrasts, a greater flexibility to notice when I was doing something less than elegantly and to adjust behavior on the fly. That's what I aspire to. It's what I certainly aspire to evoke in others. And I have so much patience for whatever educational ride I get an opportunity to acquire from you, whereas by significant contrast, I'll watch 2 minutes of a video of some other presenter on YouTube and stop it because my time is too valuable to me for that. So I'm serious because, you know, I see these linear presenters who will ask a question and not demonstrate an emotional tilt in the direction of the positive choice they want people to make. There'll be no tonal differences between... I know I'm behaving small chunk in my description here, okay. Primarily for the listeners. My experience of working with you is you are demonstrating multiple forms of communication at the same time, and that evokes a response in listeners, and I wish they had more of the patterns and the awareness to notice how parallel, how efficient that is.
Well, so. I don't have a problem. I mean, you know, people come up to me and go, I noticed you did X amount of looping.
Right,
or, you know, and that's fine. I mean, that's cool. They're paying attention at a certain level, and people will draw their attention to what they want to learn at the time. So if somebody comes in and says, you know, I want to learn how he does tunnel shifts, and that's what they're focused on, that's fantastic. Yeah. Or I want to notice when there's spatial anchoring going on, or, you know, how many loops can I count? Or that's all part of the process. I do the same thing, and have done the same thing, and that's why talk about new models is a great thing. Here's where, for me, I think the difference is in me. When I say, oh, there's nobody like me, you know, I say that tongue in cheek, obviously. I don't have to do this. I never had to do it. My goal was never to be an NLP trainer. My goal was to be an entertainer and an actor and a person in movies, you know, to do that. Had nothing to do. So my investment is not in being the guy in the front of the room with the accolades. That is nice. It's kind of like an occupational hazard. You say nice things, that's great. My goal as a trainer has been to turn the light on in the room so people can see what's in the room.
Yeah.
Because if they're traveling in darkness, now, I can't make them see what's in the room, but I can turn the light on. If they see what's in the room and they discover something, or they discover something cool in the room, then they own that because that's what they saw. Mm-hmm. I can't force what they see. So it's kind of like I can invite them to a buffet and go eat whatever you want to eat and enjoy. All right, I'm not going to stick your head in the food, make you eat everything and taste it. I'm going to offer it. And I'm going to go. But the thing is that they take what they take.
Right.
Now, I'm going to help them to take as much as they can take and for as long as they can take and to enjoy what they take and all that stuff. But it's not me that's important. That, and to me, this truly is the distinction that I find most critical. It's not about me doing something. It's about them gaining something because they've invested in themselves. They're extracting the learning. Yes, they're with a presenter who may be doing some different things, mm-hmm. you know, or who hopefully I'm entertaining, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and I'm providing value in that sense. But I truly, if they go home and they go, I have changed my life, and they don't remember Rex, I don't care. In fact, I do more to drive people away from me mm-hmm. than I do to invite people to me. Mm-hmm. And then people don't get that. I used to.
Oh, your Facebook friends get it. Well, they tear it up on Facebook.
I do. But see, you know what happened? You know what I discovered? You can try this for yourself. I used to walk around the world, people say, how are you? I go, wonderful. Wonderful. After a while, somebody came up to me and said, I hate talking to you. I go, why? They go, because everything's fine. It's always wonderful. I started to complain. Suddenly, people came out of the woodwork like, wow, you're a total human. Wow, that's really cool. Then what happened was they started to come, you know, kind of like a little bit closer. So I'd complain a little bit more. And they go, well, now you're complaining too much. And I learned that by complaining, by arguing, I could drive people away. It's like not showering. I would, you know what I'm saying? I mean, in other words, I'm fine the way I am. And I got lots of good friends and dear friends. I love meeting people, and it's an exciting thing. But being an NLP person doesn't add much to me.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not about being the NLP guru. So what I want people to do is come in, get it, and go home. And then leave me alone.
And do some wonderful things with it.
Yeah. And yes, we can remain in touch. I'm not saying, you know. but the bottom line is, I've told this to people all the time, the best thing, the best thank you anyone can give to me is to change your own life.
Yeah.
If you want to say, thanks, I learned something from you, that's fantastic because that's what I've done. I didn't change your life. You changed your life with something you learned because I presented it in a program.
They had an experience with you and it changed them.
And, well,
and they learned themselves.
But they need to learn the ownership of
yes.
it. Right. And the problem that a lot of people have is they say, I'm taking ownership of your change. I'm the guy who unscrewed your head and poured it in. I'm the person who and that doesn't interest me.
Yeah.
Because all that does is create followers. I don't want followers.
So here we are in 2013, and while this recording may survive simply this next couple of months, here we are 2 months roughly in advance of spending 5 days together helping some future speakers to find their own voice and their own success.
I hope people think about practitioner program. I hope they think about master practitioner program because we're doing those. I mean, those are very valuable core experiences, as is the presentation skills. I think if anybody's listening and decides, you know, I've got to do a training and they can only get to DC, then get their butt to DC and do the presentation, because they're going to get great value. If they can go, wow, I can be in Redondo in June, but I can't be there in October, then get there in June. I don't care if you're a master crack. I don't care if you're king of the universe. Come to the program.
We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time.
Right.
And you've got some interesting people you'll be bringing.
Well, hopefully, yeah. We'll have some interesting people there. And if not, you know, we'll find interesting people who show up.
We'll do that, certainly. Absolutely. Everybody, you know, it's so the people who've already signed up and who've been talking about coming, are already extraordinary people.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's very, it's going to be
no,
cool.
No, I'm also a firm believer that the right people for the moment show up, and that, you know, if you throw a party and you end up with two people, those are the two people who are meant to be there. If you end up with 200 people, those are the 200 people who are meant to be there.
Well,
if
we're not doing 200. We're doing a maximum of like 30 or 40
right,
people.
Right,
so.
But the point I'm making is that who's ever there is the right person. Now, sometimes you get a person who's a pain in the ass.
It happens occasionally.
And that was right for the moment, because there's something of inherent value to learn from that. It's that's where you as a trainer, or I as a trainer, presenter, or whatever, are challenged in meeting their challenges. Sometimes they're a distraction for everybody else, and that's an important piece of the whole thing, because guess what? If you're thinking you're going to be a presenter and you're never going to have a problem,
or whatever,
you go into comedy thinking everybody's going to love me, you got to know that you're going to get heckled 80% of the time. So you got to be able to handle these things. So it's like you throw a party, and whoever says, there's always the drunk person that shows up at the party, you know, and that trips over things. There's always the really intellectual person who comes in and pontificates. There's always...
You get a big enough group, there's all types.
Movie party, yeah, right. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying there's like stereotypes. So in the same way, you throw a training, and whoever shows up is perfect for that time, because that's what it's about. Is it's about the synergistic energy of those people who are there in the room, creating experience that will be unlike any other experience on the planet in that moment. Mm-hmm. So
I agree.
Wear your best party clothes.
Well, we had some amazing people at the PRAC in November, so I'm looking forward to April with you and presenting skills here near DC.
Right.
And also, if you're willing, I'd like to do a few. We did some recordings about practitioner training last year prior to the November course. Maybe we could do some recordings this year, some more teleconferences on Master Prac.
That's a possibility. I mean, it's October, we've got time.
Yeah, absolutely. So your schedule is often unpredictable with your film schedule and other pursuits, and so. We don't necessarily have you beyond these three courses. I mean, I'd love to keep working together, but I don't know if your schedule is going to allow it. So for people who are going, well, is this ever going to be done again? The answer is we have no idea.
Right.
And so they should take advantage right now, because this is what we got. This is what you've agreed to for this moment anyway. And I know how challenging it was for us to come up with a couple of windows to do these courses this year.
So. Yeah, it was challenging, but you know, I'm glad we're doing it. And I've had a great time on the tour, and it's been great.
I'm glad.
And the tour originated in L.A. a while back, too. And so we met some really cool people.
Oh, that was so much fun.
Now is the time. I mean, that's all I have to say. It's happening now. And if it happens again, it will happen again. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Yeah.
So, you know, this is our window. And I'm eager. I'm excited. I'm thrilled with what we've done and what we're doing and what we will do with the upcoming programs.
Sounds great.
And
to
the
me.
People I'm going to meet, because... You know, I've been
they make
cool
it.
People. Yeah.
They make it.
Well, and for people listening who are deciding to attend too, it's not just about the trainers in the front of the room, it's about the people that you're with and the experience that you help co-create. So, and again, I put it as, you know, put on your best party hat, your best party clothes. It's a metaphor. But come, you know, with the idea that you can contribute to the experience while learning and take from the experience as well. But that you'll be there with other people who can assist that process. They may be challenging at times, and they may be more than accommodating at other times. But that whole experience is what it's about. Because it's not just Jonathan and I standing up in a room and you sitting there in a chair by yourself.
Yeah.
It's about all of us in the room together and what we can do. And you'll learn from the best in the room, and you'll learn from the worst in the room. Because all of that's important. I tell people with the movies, you know, and I have my show, I go, what do you need to learn to do, and what do you need to learn not to do? And you can learn as much or more in some ways about what not to do by watching really bad, horrible movies. going, I will never do that, and then doing everything you can to avoid doing that.
Yeah, no, that's a lesson too. Absolutely, I wouldn't want that to be my only form of lesson.
No, but it's but if you don't do no, because you need to know what to do instead.
Of course,
but you know now what to avoid, and now and to try and successfully avoid that because it didn't work. How would you make it work? So again, it's that compare and contrast. And thinking on your feet. If that didn't work, what else can I do? Well, that's going to come from your own resourcefulness. And if you don't know what else to do because you've never been exposed to it, you don't have the choices, you don't have the behavior flexibility, you will only do what you've always done.
Yeah.
So knowing that you shouldn't do something, but being able to do something different is what you want to learn, how to do the different thing.
Wonderful. Quite a joy. And if there's anybody who's really fundamentally new to all this material that is worried about this fear or that fear, about whether or not they'd respond to feedback well, that's one of the big gifts of not only NLP, but of Rex's style of presenting, and I, of course, aspire to that too, which is giving feedback elegantly so people can truly evolve without feeling fears or worries in the process. Learning from Rex was such a joy for me. I even learned to turn the mirror back on myself and work on some less than graceful habits, and I did so with joy. It's that kind of an environment that we create. So, Rex, thanks for chatting with me today.
Well, thank you for chatting with me and the opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure. It's just a joy. So, for those who are listening, we invite you to come join us in April at the
Absolutely.
Speakers Course, and if this happens to happen again beyond that, that would be great. We'll certainly keep the recording available. So, thanks for listening. And
come to the Practitioner Master Practitioner course.
Absolutely. It's going to be amazing.
Well, the reason I say that is because, I mean, you come to all of them, obviously, or choose one. But whichever one you can make, come. Because the value and the opportunity is still present. Figure out your schedule. If you can only do X amount of days, or you can only do the East Coast, or you can only do the West Coast, or you're flying in from overseas, or whatever it is that you can make happen, choose one or more and come join us.
I had a moment, just to support that, I had a moment in New York City at the New York Power Team group where someone had come up to me after my short presentation, it was 90 minutes, on charisma, and said, I'd been to another NLP practitioner training with somebody else, and 10 minutes into this presentation, I knew I'd gone to the wrong guy. So
back then.
That's right. Exactly. And are you offering a course? Can I refresh with you? And my answer was absolutely. And my thinking is, she wants to refresh with me. She has no idea what kind of value she's going to get from you. I know. But
kind of you to say, yes.
So another accolade to end this. So listen, that's our recording. We've got to get moving because yes. I got to get Rex to the airport. And he gets to fly home to be with his kids. So
yes.
I got to go home to mine. So,
yes.
Time to say goodbye. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in April, June, and or October.
And in the meantime, have a wonderful life.
Indeed. Cheers.